be back in church tonight. Appreciate you being faithful, and good to be with God's people, with a good spirit in the house of the Lord. And I enjoy Wednesday nights. I enjoy the family atmosphere of being in this room versus over there. There's nothing wrong with either place. It's just a different change of scenery, and I like the family feel. Amen. And I also like the fact that some of you can drink coffee, help you stay awake a little bit better during the message. Amen. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 105. I know we're going to continue teaching on the life of Joseph here, but there's a very interesting passage of Scripture by the psalmist about Joseph, right in the middle of Psalms, and I think this will be a good starting point tonight. We have looked at, for the past several weeks, the different subjects here on when the pit becomes God's best option for your life. And then we looked at when Potiphar's house becomes God's best opposition for your life. Last week we looked at when the prison becomes God's best opportunity for your life. And tonight we're going to go to the palace. Ordained plan for your life. Here in Psalms chapter number 105 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, and even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham." Now turn your Bibles back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 37 here. And I want to preach tonight on when the palace becomes God's ordained plan for your life. When you study the life of Joseph, you find that Joseph's life is proof that even when the path looks unpredictable, God's plan is unbreakable. God has a plan, an ordained plan for our life. If you remember in chapter number 37, his brothers had betrayed him. Potiphar's wife had falsely accused him. In chapter number 39, the butler forgot him. He was still moving Joseph towards the palace that God had planned from the beginning. None of it was by accident in Joseph's life. And so let's look here tonight. I've got six things as we kind of try to study here a little bit, slow down and look at what the Bible says. It's so much to cover. It's impossible to exhaustively cover this verse by verse, but we're going to go to a bird's eye view a little bit. We're going to look at the life of Joseph as he has found himself in the will of God in the palace. Number one, I want you to know what I would call the preparation of the palace. We've looked at that almost every service, but that was from chapter 37 through chapter number 40. And we see that God prepares His people privately before He promotes them publicly. We've said that in the past few messages, and we see that that's what God was doing in the life of Joseph, that God has different seasons for our life. Just like there's seasons that we go through from month to month, as the seasons change, things begin to change. And you know, the change of seasons is a beautiful thing. We're changing seasons right now at our house. Yesterday, my wife and I picked up all decorations and we put them in totes. And I organized our barn, me and my wife, and now we're bringing in the wintertime. The most wonderful time of the year, the season of Christmas. I'm saying seasons are a good thing. But you know what it requires? It requires some change. Things don't look the same. Things don't feel the same. The temperature changes. The trees change, the grass changes, the weather changes, our clothing changes. At least I hope it does. I do see people walking around with short sleeves and shorts on in the middle of January, and I'm thinking, what are these people? I'm saying there's seasons of life that change, and God has different seasons for our life. And Joseph went through some seasons in his life. The first season that he went through was the season of what I would call tonight the season of chapter 37. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And then they took him and they cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. Many colors, that was a picture of his security, his identification with his father, the gift from his father to the pit. And now Joseph has been stripped of his comfort. He's been stripped of his security. He has been removed from his homeland to a foreign land. He has been stripped from his father's presence. He's been stripped from his house. He's been stripped from his own field. He's been stripped from his, what he thought was his there. And everybody has a there. You ought to find your there and get there if it's the will of God. And yet God took Joseph as that young 17-year-old boy, and he had to put him through a season of stripping. And God tonight has to remove some things from our life before he can add some things to our life. We don't like stripping. I'm not talking about streaking. I'm talking about when God takes the things that we like and strips them from us. God will do that, by the way, in your life. He will take things from your life, because he's putting you through a season. It's not a constant season. All of life is not a season of stripping. But when you go through it, recognize it, that it's God's preparation for your life. Just like God was preparing Joseph for the palace through the season of stripping. And then he took him to a season of shaping. The pit was the season of stripping. The prison was a season of shaping. You see, we find that stewardship, as he's there, he's brought to the pit, and he is doing things in his life, and just responsibility, and he learns serving faithfully in Potiphar's house. From to Potiphar's house, chapter 39. We're going to look at some scripture since we're studying tonight. Chapter 39, the season of stripping. Verse number 1, the Bible says, down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. But verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight and served him and made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord had blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and he was well favored. So Joseph learns some responsibility. He gives him some things through the life of leadership while he is faithfully serving. Tonight, can I remind you that he is the potter, we are the clay? Like the Bible says, Isaiah, Lord, thou art our Father. We are the thou art our potter, and we are the work of hand. The problem is, we get in the potter's hand, and God begins to shape us, press upon us, mold us, and make us. We sound like what Paul said to the Romans there in chapter 9. He said, hath resisted his will. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God, saying this, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So these seasons are shaping us into the vessel that God is going to use for His honor and for His glory. So there was a season of stripping, the season of shaping, and then there was the season of schooling for his life. Look at chapter 3, verse number 2. The prison, the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord had made it to prosper. Did you know tonight that God's schooling is way different than man's schooling? As institutions where people go to school. But God will see to it, if He's going to use you for His glory, He's going to put you through His school. And His school many times is not fun. In prison, Joseph was put in charge. The prison became the classroom for Joseph. He had this influence over these two individuals. It wasn't punishment. It was, you said, what was it? It was preparation. It was schooling for Joseph. God put him in God's school, and God's school is different than what we would do. You say, I don't understand. You know, one thing about a test. When you take a test, the teacher's silent. Test. There's not much talking going on. Why? It's time for you to take a test. And the teacher don't talk during the test. Not why they're not teaching during test time. And sometimes just because you can't hear God doesn't mean He's not there. Just got in the time of testing and He's just being silent because you're in God's school and He is the teacher. The preparation for the palace, number two, has to refine that man. God puts a man in school, but guess what? Man has to pass the test. You got to go through God's school, but then the ball's in your court. The test is on your desk. And you got to pass the test. And these tests in God's school that Joseph went through were tests that, number one, he had to resist defilement. In Genesis chapter 3, I read it, but for sake of time, story. Potiphar's wife goes in and she's wooing Joseph, trying to get Joseph to lie with her. He refuses her. He refuses her wooings and her drawings to him. And finally, when all the men of the house were gone, she goes and she catches Joseph by his coat because she's trying to get him to lie with her. And then the Bible says that he ran. He didn't try to fight it. He fled it. He fled the temptation. He resisted the defilement and he lost his coat, but he didn't lose his character. You say, why did he do that? Now look at what he said. He said, there's none greater than I in this house. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. He said, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Sin against God, ultimately. You see, there's a difference between whenever you sin and you sin against somebody than when you look at your sin as, hey, it doesn't matter what sin I commit, I'm sinning against God. So the purity that must precede the palace, he would have never made it to the palace if he would have laid with Potiphar's wife. Because God cannot use a dirty vessel. Take a time out and say, thank God for the blood. When you do fall, you do mess up, you do blunder, you do, amen, make a mistake, you do sin against God, it's more than a mistake. I almost hate saying it that way. It's a sin. And as Joseph said, it's a sin against God. But when you do it, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. My desire and clean. I hope that's your desire. Because God don't give drinks from dirty cups. You just can't do it. Somebody said, especially a man whom God's going to use. Say, I'm going to give the church a drink tonight. Not if you're dirty. He's not going to feed the flock from a dirty. And so, number two, he had to refuse bitterness in his life. In chapter 39, look at chapter 39. Because I've got so much to do and I want to get through it tonight. But he was, as I've said, he was falsely accused. You can read the chapter yourself. You know what happened. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was unjustly in prison, and Joseph keeps his spirit clean. I mean, he is bound in prison. He's going off as an innocent man. You know, Brother John goes to prison a lot, and everybody in prison is innocent, amen. But hey, listen, I'm telling you tonight, Joseph was an innocent man. But he refused bitterness. Don't let others determine what kind of Christian that you're going to be. So many people let others determine what kind of Christian they're going to be in their walk with God. Don't let you and God. You say, well, they accused me. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph, and it wasn't even true. But guess what tonight? Listen, if you let a hypocrite or an accuser get between you and God, you know what that means? That means that they're closer to God than you are. So don't let them get between you and God. Bitterness that will defile many. It will destroy marriages. It destroys relationships. It destroys churches. It dethrones preachers out of pulpits. As Brother Lester Roloff said, keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. You got to keep in touch with Him, man. If not, you got to refuse bitterness in your life. And then you got as Joseph did. Pit Potiphar's house to prison, and he never changed. He just stayed the same. The Lord was with him. Chapter 39, verse 21, look at it. The Lord. It's interesting, he started the chapter with position and authority, going to Potiphar's house. Everything was committed into his hand, responsibility, leadership. The Bible was with Joseph. And then he went through all that with Potiphar's wife, all the false accusations and the lies. And now he's being put back into God's school in a prison cell. And the Lord reminds us again, hey, I'm still with thee, old boy. Verse 20, gave him mercy and gave him the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did, he was the doer of the prison. Anything, verse 23, that was under. With him, that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He remained devoted to God. The Lord was with Joseph in the darkest place, at the beginning part of the chapter, and at the end of the chapter. He kept believing God. He kept loving God. He kept living by faith, and was led by the good hand of God upon his life, even if it led him to a prison. I want you to see here tonight the providence that was behind the palace. As we go, continue on through the life of Joseph 41, what looks accidental is always this was an accident. This wasn't supposed to happen. You say, what's going on? God is directing the path. In chapter 40, verse 23, for sake of time, we won't read it. Somebody read for him to have. Joseph's a great type of Christ. You got these two prisoners, these two guilty individuals, and I think their pictures probably, no doubt, of the two men the two thieves that died on either side of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is directing Joseph. God begins to develop Joseph as a person. Look at chapter 40, verse number 23. We'll read this verse here. The Bible says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Now this is a hard thing because the butler forgot him for 2 years. But was just divine development. God was developing Joseph once again in his schooling. Listen, if I was Joseph, I'd be saying, "Lord, I mean, do I got to go through another test? I mean, the Lord, you've been with me. I've passed the test. I've been doing pretty good, and I've been in prison. Maybe you could just get me out of here." And then here he is. You know, the chief butler, the Bible says, didn't remember him, but forgot him. Chapter 41, verse number 1. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." Verse number 3 here. God determined promotion. He's directing the path. He's developing the person. He's need man's manipulation or man's abilities to get the position where he wants us. Pharaoh called heroes. Number 14, I'll show it to you. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'I've dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it.' And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying," he said, "it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Look at verse number 38 for sake of time. The Bible says after that, he tells him the dream and he interprets the dream. Verse 38, Pharaoh said unto his servants, "We find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God to Joseph, "See, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt." Out of the prison, God decides to open the prison doors, get Joseph out, and listen, and no one can close that door. When God's doing a promotion plan, listen, everybody loves a promotion, right? Everybody's looking for a promotion. But when God promotes you, amen, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, "For a great door opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." New levels, new devils. You're always going to go through something, aren't you? You never arrive at the place where you're just off scot free. God's going to see to it that you trust in Him in the palace. So there's the providence behind the palace, and number 4, there's the power of the palace. Look at chapter 41, verse number 37. Chapter 41, verse number 37 here. We won't read that part there for sake of time. Let's skip down to, let's see here. Verse number 50. "And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bear unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, 'He hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house.' And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." So we see here the power of the palace is that God had a sovereign assignment for Joseph. Joseph has received authority over Egypt. As we've already said, second in command. He is in God's sovereign timing for his life. And then we see Ephraim was bearing fruit in the palace. But you know what he had to do? He had to forget the past. Many people get stuck in the past. And Joseph's plan during these famine years, you know, he ends up saving a nation, including Israel. Joseph, he's bringing salvation. 55. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, look at what they said. Pharaoh said, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. You talk about a saving administration that Joseph had. You say, what was going on? He was the head honcho. He was the main enchilada. You see what was going on? He had a spirit-anointed ability, according to chapter 41, verse number 38. Look at verse number 38 again. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto his servant, we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Pharaoh says, we're going to find a man that's got God's Spirit on him, God's Spirit in him. And promotion is never about prestige or position. It was about the power and the presence of the Spirit of God upon Joseph's life. And may that be our desire tonight, church, as God has a place, a God-ordained place for you. You're not never going to get there until you have that Spirit-anointed ability. Joseph said to Pharaoh whenever he went to him and said, hey, I need you to help me to do this. And he said, it's not in me. He recognized it was God that was going to do it. It was God's power. It was God's ability. You see, God, we don't have very much ability, but we can have availability. And submit to the will of God and let the Spirit anointing help us and use us and anoint us for the Spirit of God through us. You see, God can do more through us than we can do ourselves. And so number five here, let's look at the part. Victory in his life was forgiveness, was the ability to forgive. Because God can't use a grudge holder. You say, well, I don't understand how I was raised. It don't matter how you were raised. It don't matter if you're a Yankee or a Southern. The change you're going through in your life. Tonight, listen, God cannot use someone who has chapter 42, verse number 7. I'm going to read this because this Bible study tonight, I want you to see what happened here. Look at verse 7 of chapter number 42. I'm talking tonight about this pardon that was displayed in the palace. The first thing that happened is Joseph confronted his brothers, the ones that sold him and betrayed him, left him for dead. Verse 42, chapter 42, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself speak roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan. And the Bible says, Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land are ye come. And they said unto him, Nay, my Lord, but to buy food are we thy servants come. We are all of one man's son. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." I mean, he is talking rough to these old boys. Verse 13, and they said, with our father, and one is not. One of them is dead. And Joseph said unto them, "This is it that you saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come thither. Send one of you. Let him fetch your brother in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." And he put them together into ward 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God. And if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound, carry corn for the famine of your house, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so your words will be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. So Joseph, he begins to test his brothers' hearts. He wasn't trying to necessarily torment them, but he was trying to transform this relationship. He had no idea who he was, but he was confronting them because he knew who they were, putting them through this test as he is going through this process of forgiveness. He confronts it. And then the second thing he does, he cancels the burden that they had. Could you imagine the burden that Joseph had carried, knowing that he had been betrayed, and even the burden that these brothers had carried? Look at chapter 45, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, because every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. The Egyptian Pharaoh heard therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither from to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. And he hath made me a father. Story tonight. Joseph reveals he's confronting his brothers, and then he cancels the burden. He said, "Hey, you meant it evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph did not focus on the hurt. Joseph focused on the hand of God in it. He said he recognized that it was God. God used all of those betrayals, and God used him being sold, and God used him being put in the prison. Potiphar's house, and then down into the prison and to the palace. God brought me to this day. Don't be angry. He has to console his brothers. He weeps over them. The Bible says in verse number 14, "And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck," that was his youngest brother, "and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck." Keep this in your mind. "Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren, and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren embraces them. He reconciles with them. He's not. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not ignoring the wound, but forgiveness is refusing to let the wound control your life, have a foothold in your life. Wounds are something that is going to happen in life. You live long enough, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt in church. You're going to get hurt by preachers. You're going to get hurt by friends and people that you let in closest to you. As Pastor was talking about that wound, he brought him, but he used it. He realized, hey, God, He brought me to this palace and He could not have done it without hurt. So He confronts His brothers. He cancels their to console their broken hearts. That's the last thing here tonight. What begins to be the result of all that's happening as He is the one that is dishing out the food, keeping everyone alive, as second in command in the land of Egypt. So what is flowing from the palace? Number six, I want you to notice here tonight the peace that flows from the palace. You read chapter 45 through chapter 50, we see here tonight that restoration is the result of God's faithfulness, not ours. Like the song says, I've not always been faithful, but He has. I've not always been graceful, but He has. I've not always been true, amen. And listen tonight, He has. And God does something here. You say, what's He do? God uses Joseph in the palace as peace begins to flow from the life of Joseph's heart and his brethren. And He brings restoration with the family. Look at chapter 45 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. By the way, every one of us have family problems. Problems with brothers, problems with spouses, problems with siblings. I'm telling you tonight, there's a God that can fix it. There's a God that can fix relationships. Chapter 45, verse number 9, He said, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Look at what He said to His brothers. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me. He said, hey, I'm going to give you Goshen. Goshen was the best of the land. And He said, I want you to be near to me, brothers. Thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks, thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. You said, what happened? Joseph provided for his family. He gives him the best of the land of Goshen. You see, there was restoration that took place. But can I say this tonight? Before restoration takes place, there has to be restoration. I was reading the way that it went. I found a good rebellion. Look at chapter 42, verse 1. Restoration can only take place when the other party repents. Chapter 42, verse number 21, the Bible says, and they said one to another, look at this now, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And you can read about what Reuben said there. You said, what happened? Genesis, his brothers admit sin before Joseph after he moment of sorrow, a moment when they had no excuses to give, their blame. You did that because he wasn't to Joseph's authority, and they accepted God's judgment. If God wanted to judge them, they give us what we got. Read the changed lives of the Judah. He's confirming in their life that it was repentance. It's not just a moment of fear because they got caught. Some people repent because they got caught and they don't want the punishment. So there was this restoration of the family. I'm talking about peace. Peace comes when restoration flows. And then, number two, there was the reunion with the father. Jacob says, hey, after he sees that Joseph's alive in chapter 46, verse number 28, we're almost done. He'd not only been separated from those brothers, he had been separated from his own father. Chapter 46, verse number 28, the Bible says, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen. And he presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Israel had enough peace in his heart after this transaction that he was now ready to die. That's that kind of peace, as our pastor says, is addicting. There's a restoration of the family. There's the reunion with his father. And then there was a resolution for the future. You read chapters 50, verses 19 through 25. We'll end here tonight. Look at chapter number 50, the very last chapter of the book of Genesis. Joseph, he covers his brothers again after his death. After Israel died, their father, he assures them that God will continue his promise. Look at verse 19. Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am the God, but as for you, you thought it evil against me. As it is, much people alive now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them, just like Jesus did. Verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. But look at this. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he sware unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Twice he said it. And ye shall carry my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. See, Joseph ends the book the same way that he lived his life. God. He held on to the promises of God. That palace was now the place of great peace that was coming, because all that God did with his brothers and with his father. And now there was a resolution for their future. God was going to do something with God's people, with this family, with this lineage, with this line. He gave them one last promise in verse 25. He said, God will surely carry it up. In this, all the way it was. He said, God will surely visit you. You know how long it was? 215 years. It's a long time. But you know what God did? God kept His promises. God, you know what I thought about God? He is seldom early. But He's never late. He's always right on time. And they kept that coffin around for 215 years. We remember what He said. He said when He died that God was going to visit us. God was going to hear our cry in the land of Egypt. God was going to send a deliverer. You know what God was doing? On the backside of the desert, He's got another man that's going through his school. So He could have that man go and be a deliverer. Sometimes you know what all you need? You know all some of you need tonight? It's a promise. It's a promise. You need a word. And guess what? God came and He sent a deliverer and He got him out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 3, and we're done with this. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Turn just a few more pages. He said, I don't know what to do, Brother Brian. Just turn the page. Amen. You don't know what to do in life. Just turn the page. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my sorrows, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. You go over to chapter number 12, verse number 15, the Bible says it's the self same that the Lord did the children of Egypt by their armies. Do you know tonight that God is not interested in your watch, your GPS, or your calendar? You know what He's interested in? His will. And rarely God does our will line up with His. It takes time. Joseph teaches us what others meant to stop you, God will use to move you. God from the pit, but the pit did not take His future. God's plan did. The providential, amen, hand of God. That palace was not man's idea. It was God's original intention for Joseph's life. So no matter where you are tonight, church, God's hand is guiding you. God's timing is preparing you and God's plan is unfolding for you. And the promise will come right on time. Not in your time, but in His time. And no telling what you to do for His honor, for His glory. Father, bless the word tonight. Help us, Lord, I pray, during the waiting time to trust Your good hand as it leads our life. Lord, help us to pass the test You put us through in God's school as You strip us and shape us and school us. Use us for Your honor, for Your glory. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.